The rights of refugees must always be respected, and the church must do all it can to help these brothers and sisters in need. That was Pope Benedict's message to mark the UN's World Refugee Day, celebrated in June each year to raise awareness of the plight of so many millions of people who continue to flee conflict and persecution and seek refuge in other countries. The Pope's words came as Muslim, Jewish and Catholic leaders here in Rome helped launch a new international coalition demanding better conditions for all refugees, migrants and asylum seekers. The coalition brings together over 100 non-governmental organisations, individuals and faith-based groups in countries across the globe, alarmed by the increasing use of lengthy detention in harsh conditions for people seeking safety and a decent standard of living.
Often it's a great shock to children and to adults to feel that they thought they'd reached safety. And then sometimes they're more affected by being put into detention in the country of supposed refuge than by the original abuse they suffered in their home countries, because they thought they were coming to safety.
Among the founding members of this new coalition is the Jesuit Refugee Service, which works with migrants and asylum seekers in over 50 countries around the world. JRS International Advocacy Coordinator Melanie Teff told me more about the unacceptable detention conditions in which many people, including children, are held, sometimes for years on end, while their requests for asylum are being processed.
We come across people who've survived torture who are then being placed in detention, which is reviving the psychological problems that they've suffered. We come across pregnant women in detention, nursing mothers in detention, but certainly the children grab the attention because it's so damaging for children to be growing up in these conditions. It really takes away their childhoods and leaves them with mental scars in the future. What we're seeing around the world is an increase in the use of immigration detention by governments, and we're seeing sometimes the worst practices of governments being exported, copied by other governments. And so we felt there was a need for a cross-regional response by NGOs and human rights groups.
How exactly is the coalition going to work?
Well, what the coalition is advocating for is to prevent and or limit the use of detention for asylum seekers, refugees and migrants, to advocate for alternatives to detention and for the use of the least restrictive forms of detention, to promote greater protection of and respect for the human rights of those held in detention. Really, we're asking governments to comply with what they've signed up to.
All governments are called to serve the human being.
Among those promoting the launch of this international network on June 15th was Cardinal Renato Raffaele Martino, head of both the Vatican Council for Justice and Peace and the Council for Migrants and Itinerant Peoples. He told me why the Church is in the forefront of this struggle to put a human face on these problems which are too often hidden behind prison walls.
The concern of all administration from government, international organization, is the service of the human being.
The Church is increasingly involved in this kind of advocacy, lobbying at the highest levels of the United Nations. Do you see this as a growing role of the Church?
Oh yes. Because this is based on the gospel. And as you heard, I was 16 years a representative of the Holy See to United Nations, and in my 16 years are countless the interventions that I made in exactly in the name of, on behalf of the refugees, and I proposed the refugee, not a number, but a human face.
Idea of some of the worst cases that you've seen, some of the experiences that would actually bring home to us the reality that so many of these people have to endure after they have fled from a situation of persecution in other countries?
perhaps an example people don't often think of. In Zambia, a country which has very generously hosted many thousands of Angolan refugees, sadly, they've been living in camps which they've not been allowed to leave for over 30 years. And if they leave those camps without permission, then they can end up in the local jail indefinitely. And JRS has known people who've died pending release from those jails simply because they moved without permission. In Malta, JRS sees people who have fled desperate conditions in home countries, and the reception they receive in a European country is to be put in an army barracks held for usually around 12 months simply because they fled persecution or extreme poverty. And they're held while their asylum application is being dealt with. They're being held in very poor conditions in army barracks, which have been criticised by human rights groups worldwide. We've also seen in the Immigration Detention Centre in Bangkok, we know people who've been held in there for years, pending deportations that are often not going to happen because of bureaucracy. And it's not the fault of the individuals who are being held in detention that they can't be deported. And the same is happening in Australia. One case we became aware of, a Kashmiri asylum seeker, his case was rejected. He waited 7 years in immigration detention before Australia finally accepted that it wasn't going to be able to deport him and let him out last year. But 7 years for a man who's committed no crime. All he's done is entered a country.
We see increasingly the detainees themselves protesting these kind of very, very difficult conditions. We see detainees sewing their lips together and staging some quite high-profile protests to try and get the international attention on this critical issue. And yet, up till now, it doesn't seem to have done so, does it?
Sadly, it doesn't. And that's why we're launching this coalition at the moment, because we feel that very often the general public doesn't really get the information about what's happening. Very often people see a detention centre and they think it's a prison. They think people are in there because they've committed a criminal offence or been charged with a criminal offence. They very often do not know that the detention centre next down their road is in fact holding people who've not been charged with any criminal offence. They've simply entered the country without permission. I don't think the public gets the information about how many people are being held in detention. In the United States, every day there are more than 20,000 people being held in detention. Last year, the figures were 230,000 people held in immigration detention. Again, not one criminal charge for any of those people.
And yet part of the public image that is portrayed is that these people, if they haven't committed any crime, they may represent some kind of risk. There's very much a negative image that governments, if not actively trying to put across, are certainly happy to let go, if you like.
Yes, and you know, we understand the difficulties that governments face. We're not suggesting that governments have no right to protect their national sovereignty. We're not suggesting that there is never a circumstance where detention may be necessary for a short period of time. What we are saying is that every time there is a consideration of detention, there should be a judicial oversight of that decision. And alternatives should be considered first. That's all we're saying. If in the last resort there is no alternative, and if the detention is meeting human rights standards, that the conditions are acceptable, that there is a time limit on the detention, then there may be circumstances in which we wouldn't oppose it. But we would always ask that alternatives should be considered and that government should live up to the human rights standards that they've signed up to.
Among the other faith leaders supporting this new coalition is Mario Scialoia, president in Italy of the World Muslim League.
We are in an era where the whole population tries to go from poor to rich countries, and evidently there is a limit to the reception capacity of Western countries. So, I mean, we must find a way to help these people at their home in avoiding mass migration, which evidently cannot be accepted, not only by Italy, but by Spain, by France, by Germany, by all Western countries.
What is your message to governments in countries, not just here in Italy, but around the world?
That charity is the same whether it is Muslim or Christian or Jewish charity, and that we must think that these people are human beings just like us, that they're less fortunate than us, and that we should do all the best, all what we can to help them.
At the moment, we have 100 organisations and individuals who have joined in over 36 countries. I think we said 36 in our press statement. I think it's come to 40 countries now. And we have 17 steering committee members from all over the world and from certainly from different faith groups as well. So we have organisations like Amnesty International. We also have organisations, more local organisations like the Refugee Consortium of Kenya. We have Egyptian organisations, Mexican organisations, Jamaican organisations, and yes, they're from different faith groups as well as different non-faith groups.
The role of the other faith groups perhaps within this coalition is to bring a different perspective on this key human rights issue.
I think it's very important that this issue is talked about in terms of its ethics and its morality, and that's where the faith groups come in. I think that all of the major faiths have a concern for the ethics and morality of the way our societies are treating vulnerable people. And this is a key issue to be looked at in through the perspective of faith and ethics and morality.
My thanks there to Melanie Teff, International Advocacy Coordinator for the Jesuit Refugee Service. And earlier you heard Cardinal Renato Raffaele Martino, head of the Vatican's Council for Justice and Peace and the Council for Migrants and Itinerant Peoples, and Mario Scialoia, President in Italy of the World Muslim League.